This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth joins us on Monday afternoons to talk a little Virginia politics. He is with us. He's the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you doing? I'm glad to see some of this heat breaking a little bit.
Yeah, it's downright chilly, isn't it? It's only 90 degrees. I can't believe it. I need a sweater. It's just amazing. Hey, Bob, you seen that new movie Inception yet?
No, I haven't. Is it good? Should we be saying it?
Yes, I saw it last night. It was really good. I mean, if some people, it just seems they love it or they hate it. I loved it. I mean, it's definitely, you know, dreams within dreams within dreams kind of thing, worlds within worlds. But I thought that was fun. And I got a big kick out of it. It's really a lot of fun. Lots of things exploding and breaking and floating, but really a terrific story and very well done. Another story that's getting a lot of attention is privatizing Virginia's ABC stores. Are we really looking at the possibility that the ABC store in Virginia could go the way of the phonograph record or the dial telephone?
Well, I think Bob McDonnell has his way, it will. And what's interesting is that it's shaping up to at least be what I might call a semi-partisan battle, in that a number of prominent Democrats, such as Dick Sasswell, have said they're against it, while the governor has said that he just sees no reason that the state should be involved in selling alcohol and liquor, and that he doesn't consider that to be a core service of the state, and that we can find a way to privatize without bringing upon us a host of problems that sometimes have occurred in other states.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. VirginiaTomorrow.com is the website. So here's my question. The state currently owns all distribution of liquor in the Commonwealth. The state oversees this. This is a state program from which is earned, is it $400 million a year, ballpark?
Well, there's a claim that's $400 million over 2 years, Coy. I'm a little suspicious of that claim. I had happened to be the executive director of the Wilder Commission that looked at this issue almost 10 years ago. And a number of the business people really felt that while there is a transfer of dollars from ABC to the general fund, at the time was a little over $100 million, it's gotten larger since then, they weren't so sure that all of the costs of actually running ABC operation were included. You know, we have to pay retirement costs for employees. There's tremendous procurement costs because when you take a look at the goods Virginia purchases as a state, liquor ranks up in the top 10 or 20. There's a lot of warehousing costs. There's a lot of costs involved in this whole operation. Now, the question is, can Bob McDonnell find a way to ensure, or at least to assuage some people's minds, give a little more comfort that the state's not going to take a big financial hit here, and that over time could do relatively well. So that's the task and challenge facing him. But in some ways, it's hard to imagine that people are going to argue in 2011 that selling liquor is a core function of a state government. I guess some people would argue the same thing about holding a lottery, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. So there is money made, probably, but not a lot of money. Is that the point?
Well, I think there's some money made. The question is, can that money be replaced through some combination of the one-time dollars that you would get from selling it off and a continuing licensing fee? You know, the other thing that could happen is that if you had small stores actually paying taxes to local governments, locals might do a little better than they do under the system right now. So it's a complicated issue, but my sense is that if McDonald can make a case that there is not a big financial hit to the state, nor will there be a host of social problems emerging as a result of privatization, he's going to have a shot at this. This is likely to be one of the signature debates of his administration, Coy, and it'll be fascinating to see where most of the Democrats wind up, because one thing we haven't seen right now, a lot of public opinion polls about where the public is, and my guess is that that's going to factor into the ultimate decision.
Yeah, well, this public, speaking only for myself, I tend to agree with you. I'm just not convinced that the business of the state should be in, the buying, the distribution, the retailing of liquor stores and also paying the retirements of, paying into the retirements of people who sell liquor. It just seems like an antiquated 1930s idea, doesn't it?
To myself, it really does. I may not be in the majority on that, but my sense is that it's hard to really justify this as a core service of a state government right now. It's hard to believe that the private sector can't do it at least as efficiently as the state does. And it just seems that there's an awful lot of expenditure of public effort on an activity that is, in this instance, inherently private. Now, the state has to monitor the sales. The state has to enforce alcohol laws. There are all kinds of activities that seem to me to be the appropriate and proper purview of the state. The purchase, sale, distribution of alcohol and liquor, that seems to me to be a stretch. And my sense is that Bob McDonald ultimately is on the side of history here, whether or not he actually achieves this in the next 6 months.
Yeah, and this is a state program. Just the last point here, we're talking with Bob Holsworth, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. This is a state program that's right out of the Burb machine, is it not?
Yeah, and clearly, what has now happened is that because of the dollars that go to the general fund, there is some argument being made that, the state somehow can't afford to give up the sale of alcohol. So my sense is that so long as Bob McDonald can try to ensure people that there's not going to be a financial hit that's of any significance, and that, in fact, it might work the other way in the long run. And that, secondly, there are some people who clearly don't want a liquor store in every corner, that there's going to be some role that the state may play in providing licenses for liquor stores. My sense is that he has a shot at this. I don't know if he'll win, but I think he has a legitimate shot. And it seems to me to be the right thing to do because, as we both said, it's hard to imagine that when we're talking about what government should be doing or shouldn't be doing, selling liquor ought to be one of the primary functions, and that, purchases from liquor companies ought to be in the top 10 services that any state is obtaining these days.
Yeah. Bob, where do we stand with other states? I mean, are most other states, is this privatized and you can buy liquor in grocery stores like you can wine?
Yeah, it's a patchwork quilt, state by state, Coy. So more states are privatized now than are government run. How they're run, if they're run by the government, and what role the government plays differs from state to state. So Virginia is not, as I said, it's not completely out of the mainstream here like it might be in a situation where we're the only state that doesn't allow a governor to succeed himself. But at the same time, I think more and more folks are now believing that privatization can be accomplished without tremendous social ills arising. And that, in many respects, was the key argument that had been made against this in recent times. But you had people both on the left and the right thinking that for what you might call moral reasons, it wouldn't be good to open up the sale of liquor and alcohol. Conservatives were worried about the impact it might have on the family. Liberals were worried about the impact it might have on economically disadvantaged communities. But what seems to have happened in the more recent privatizations is that this can be handled without a wholesale emergence of the kind of social ills that people were concerned about.
Bob Holsworth is the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Last question, and then we'll leave this topic. What's the timeline on this? I mean, when might we expect to see liquor in grocery stores, for example, here in Virginia?
Well, I think they're going to have a special session as a result of the recommendations of the Regulatory Reform Commission that this is on. So in all likelihood, it'll either go to that special session or, at the latest, it'll come back into the regular session next year. And, after that, we'll have a decision one way or the other. So my sense is the earliest you're likely to see it is probably sometime the end of this year, beginning of next year.
Wow.
Don't hold your breath on that.
Yeah. Bob Holsworth, he's the founder and president of Virginia, everybody's talking about.
Well, Jim Webb wrote an op-ed last week that probably wasn't very different from the position he took during the 2006 campaign, But given the timing, it's generated an enormous amount of attention and is likely to just increase over time. What Webb did was that he essentially said that he called for an end to most government-sponsored diversity programs, especially those that benefit anybody other than African Americans. Said that they've caused too much resentment and problems around the country, and that he suggested that the white population is by no means monolithic. It has a number of groups that have been, struggled tremendously in the recent economy, and that if America is going to be fair, it ought to eliminate these programs.
So, but he's not against diversity programs for African Americans, just against everything else.
It's hard to say exactly what he meant there. In the past, that has essentially been his position. That you might say that they're for African Americans only. He talks about them in this editorial in very general terms, Coy. And I think it's probably incumbent upon the media to really begin to ask Senator Webb exactly what he means by this and what programs, in specific terms, is he against. I mean, is he against programs where police departments try to recruit ethnic minorities that might reflect the communities that they serve better? Is he against programs that corporations run that try to mentor women so that they can take leadership positions more prominently within corporations? Is he against the kind of programs that universities like UVA would have to recruit first-generation college students? What's happened in America is a lot of people are against what I would call the hard quota, but almost every institution that you can imagine of some size promotes some kind of soft diversity program. And you might say, it might ask whether Senator Webb is against all of that. And I think it might also be asked whether or not these diversity programs are actually the cause of some of the economic distress, you might say, that white Virginians in the southwest part of the state feel, or are they really far more undergoing strains economically because of the dislocation to the manufacturing sector? So my sense is that Webb has really thrown this kind of bombshell into the political arena. He's received, some support for it, but it's hard for me to imagine that down the road, Tim Kaine, Mark Warner, Bobby Scott, and Barack Obama, who's going to be running on the same ticket, you might say, with Webb in 2012, can actually voice support for this without undermining a lot of energy and enthusiasm in the Democratic coalition.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, let me read to you something you wrote on your website. It's a question, and see if you can answer it. Is Webb attempting to initiate a genuine nationwide dialogue on fairness and diversity, or is he making a political appeal to the white independents that recent polls indicate are abandoning President Obama in significant numbers? What do you think it is?
Well, I don't have the answer to that, but, my sense is that Webb has not been historically this kind of calculating political figure who is wondering how everything is going to play out. But I could tell you that's how the national media is going to read it. That's probably how the Obama White House is going to read it. I think they're going to read this as the beginning of kind of a deeds-like dance where he wants the president's assistance in mobilizing the base of the Democratic Party, but at the same time is distancing himself from some of the national Democratic policies. And this is kind of an interesting thing that's coming up. My sense is that, as I said before, this is pretty much equivalent to what he said in 2006. He got a little bit of a pass on it then. It had some media attention for a day or so. But what's going to happen now is that a lot of Democrats are going to have to be asked whether or not they agree with Webb. And my guess is that it would be almost suicidal for the Democratic Party politically to adopt this position and as a national party. So I think what you're going to find is Webb over the next few years becoming more and more of a maverick inside the Democratic Party. And he won't be uncomfortable with that because he's been a maverick throughout much of his political career.
Yeah, I was going to say that he's been walking in those shoes for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, so as I said, I don't think he minds it very much. But I think it throws, it's going to make a lot of Democrats uneasy. They would prefer not to have, Jim Webb writing this. Can you imagine the Democratic reaction if Ken Cuccinelli had written, just take the name off the byline and put Ken Cuccinelli on and then Jim Webb, and imagine what the reaction would have been in Virginia and nationally over the last 2 days.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. If the messenger was a little different with the same message, Democrats would have been furious.
Yeah, I mean, Doug Wilder, criticized him. Donald McEachin called it a very courageous act. And then last weekend, no other Democrat in Virginia was kind of available to take a call. neither Bobby Scott or Tim Kaine or Mark Warner, responded to the media. And and my guess was that they were grateful to have the weekend in order to formulate a response.
Right. They haven't quite figured out what they're going to do with Webb yet, have they?
No, and this raises the issue, heightens the issue of Webb being what they wanted in 2006, a different kind of Democrat, what he is.
Yeah.
E.J. Dionne today, for example, in the Post, wrote an article which embodied the progressive position, not on this particular issue, but on how this whole matter of race ought to play out. In the next upcoming election cycles. And what Dionne argued is that Democrats and progressives ought to be taking on the conservatives, ought to be criticizing Fox News, ought to be raising this issue front and center about what he called the implicit racism that's emerging in America. Very, very different position than Webb's. And my guess is that Dionne voices the sentiments of progressive, you might say, far more than Jim Webb did in his piece.
Bob Holsworth, the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com, joins us every Monday. Bob, thank you so much and have a terrific week.
You take care, Coy. Bye.
Tomorrow.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.